This episode of Shoe Geeks, sponsored by New Balance. New Balance is proud to introduce a new premium stability shoe, the Vongo V5. The Vongo V5 builds upon the success of the perfectly cushioned 1080 V11 with the addition of an innovative stability solution. Deep flex grooves and a more robust underfoot experience help keep the foot moving efficiently.
Hey guys, welcome to the Inside Running Podcast, Shoe Geeks episode, the July edition. So I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Julian Spence, over in Ballarat in Victorian lockdown. How are you going, Julian?
Thanks, mate. I think all three of us are in lockdown right now.
I think we are.
That's cute.
Different definitions of lockdown, I think, from each state.
Yeah, you got the real liberal man up in Sydney. Tommy DeCanto can do whatever he wants, can have parties, can go down to Bondi and sunbake.
Settle down.
The privilege is strong in New South Wales. And how are you going, Tommy?
Yeah, can't complain. It's all right.
Good. And Walker Street Podiatry still going forward a little bit every now and then, or?
Yeah, so I'm open. The regulations are a bit, you know, it's a bit vague, but I can open and I can see people that need to see me. Yeah.
Good. So people can do a telehealth consult with Tom and then buy their shoes with Julian.
You can do telehealth too, Nitta.
I can do telehealth too, yeah.
You can both send me business. Don't worry. Except
we
both.
We do. And to open up with a bit of a rant, I think because you guys have, you know, you guys have great online shopping these days, and I still run with people who are stingy enough to jump onto, you know, some backdoor sort of website and get a sale for a cheap, the Nova Blast for like $80 or something like that from 2019. This is the perfect time they need to be supporting local communities. And runners, you need one tool. You just need shoes. That's all you really need. Unless you live in Ballarat, you need some gear as well, probably. But yeah, it's all you need. So this is the perfect time to show support. Like, chatted to some of the guys that work at the running company in Adelaide, and most of them, a lot of those boys are casual, so they have no work for that period of time, and it's sad to see. You know, they get to run with these guys, and you can just feel the mood drop down a little bit as well. We want to keep these things moving forward, so I'm hoping people are supporting the online stores, Julian.
Mate, they actually are, and thanks for that. That's like very thoughtful of you. We it's hard to sort of go out there and ask people to support you. It feels a little wrong, because we know everyone's struggling right now. So it's like, hey, I know you're struggling, but maybe you could buy some shoes. So it's not it's not like a nice thing to do, but we try to provide something that might give someone some value at the moment. Running at the moment, there's not a lot more that you can do. Oh, well, except if you're in Sydney, but in Adelaide and Adelaide and Victoria, there's not a lot you can do except go running. And what's the best motivator for that? New shoes. So
we've got a 2.5k radius here in Adelaide, so I'm lucky to have a golf course nearby, so I can get some trails in. But that's our radius, 2.5. So there's like a little app the government sent out to us and saying, you know, stick within this 2.5k zone. So
I thought Victoria was tight with their restrictions, but that's full on.
Well, they. You know, Stephen Marshall said, they've only got about a week or so to save the world here, so they're locking us down tightly.
Yeah. All right. I hope it works. I hope it works.
So we'll kick off with you, Tom. Like, you're still probably training the most. I know Julian's catching you slowly as well, but what are you training for now, first of all, and what are you been rotating between?
Mate, I got no idea what I'm training for. I don't think anyone does.
True.
I mean, last time we chatted, I was up in Cairns and I was getting ready for Gold Coast Marathon. So as it happened, when they cancelled, I got a flight back to Sydney that day. And since then, I was optimistic that I was actually looking at potentially going back up to do Sunshine Coast. Potentially up, I was going to do the half, but I was potentially going to upgrade to the marathon to get that nice. Tick that box. But like, I don't think there's any chance that anyone from New South Wales is getting up there for that. So since the realization of that, like the end of last week, I've been a bit demotivated. I think Julian's going to catch my mileage pretty quickly because I'm just going to take it easy for a few weeks.
Got it.
You know, just spend more time with family and just, I don't know what I'm training for. So there's no point hitting massive miles and sessions. I'm just going to just chill, still running a fair bit because I run to commute. So it's still going to be a bit.
And I'm aware of that, Tommy. You sort of train for something. You sort of don't, you know, if you could just sit down and eat a pizza all day and not train for something, you'd rather do that than train for like no reason at all. So like, you get a head cold, you take a week off, so you're that sort of guy, whereas Julian gets a head cold and he probably pushes through for that week. So
I'll use it as an excuse to just chill out a bit, but I obviously enjoy running, but when you're training at that, you know, trying to put everything into it, it's a bit tiring when you know, you're trying to perform and do a certain time. And What are you guys thinking race wise?
I was holding out for the National Cross, which was going to be in Adelaide this year, and which was good. All my junior runners who I coach and some of the seniors were keen for that, and we're meant to have our state cross country this weekend. So, and I've got some of the younger boys flying. So Gary knows most of the boys, and they're ready for a good cross country. They missed it out last year, so. But I'm 90% sure we're still training like it's going ahead in August. They might postpone it perhaps and have a bit of an early summer cross country, hopefully. I'm not sure what they'll do in the end. But at this point in time, with three big states locked down, it's not looking likely, is it, to be, you know, going ahead in 4 or 5 weeks from now. So Adelaide missed again. So,
I don't have any races planned. My goal is just to get back jogging consistently, and body comes good for a week, few issues. So look, it's probably not a bad time to be injured right now. This has probably been the worst running year I've had for a very long time, and it's actually a saving grace. There's been nothing to miss.
That's true. Very good point. That's worked for a lot of people. Tell us about your experience with the Alpha Fly, Tommy. That's what I want to know.
That's right. I think I told you guys last time that I got a pair, finally caved. I was actually optimistic. I got it because I thought, maybe there is something to it. Maybe I will like it, but it didn't work out. I did a 6K tempo in it, the first run, and it felt pretty good. And I do know that a lot of people talk about like a bit of a break-in period for the Alpha Fly because it is so different. It's got the pods and it, you know, depending on how you hit the ground in that shoe, it can take some time to get used to. That was fine. But then I did a long run with a pickup in it, and really oddly, like halfway through the long run, my feet started to get really sore, just like the muscles and the soles of the feet. And then I was sore for like a week after, and the shoe just felt a little bit, like, I just think it's a bit too much shoe for me, to be honest. So there's obviously a sweet spot for most people with how much foam and how much cushioning is under their foot. And I think for me, it's just...
To tell me his internet just dropped out.
It's just gone too much. So I'm probably going to be honest.
Well, it's interesting, Tommy. You're back. But you've also been jogging in shoes and preferring shoes that don't have as much cush now recently, which is weird. Like, you've been a changed man recently.
I've always, I don't know. I think that experience just like as well as because the Invincible, I was wearing it a fair bit, and then I found I was getting some niggles, and it just felt almost too much shoe for a lot of running. Mm. And so I've reverted back to some of the lower stack models, and I don't know, just kind of enjoying that a bit. Yeah.
What have you been running in it? What is it? What shoe?
So I've just gone back to Nimbus Light 2. So just soft, but lower stack than the Invincible, some of the others. Mm-hmm. I've been running in the Vongo. I think we're going to talk about the mm-hmm. Vongo version 5 that just came out. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'll just grab it. We all got a pair earlier to try. So I've done about 350K mm-hmm. in it. This is the new one that we just got. Mm-hmm. So the Vongo is New Balance's stability model. And we can see that, but this side here is the posting that they've gone back to. So mm. I've been running in that a bit and yeah, enjoying it. It's probably similar sort of enjoyment to the Structure 23 that I've been wearing. Mm. It's slightly softer, like the forefoot is softer. It doesn't have the Zoom A unit, obviously, like the Structure. Mm. It's interesting what they've done with that shoe. Like, I guess we'll just dive into it because it came out in 2016, the first version, and it was like a new way of doing stability. They did that other brands have done it, but not many since the Varus tilt. So it was like thicker on the medial side than it was the lateral side, and they did that instead of a post. Yep. So like let's ditch the medial post and let's try and get stability another way. Mm-hmm. And they've gone back to the medial post again, which is interesting. Mm. So
on that first model. We got so many customers coming in with issues from that, from that real wedging in the shoe. Like the other store in town sold a ton of them, and I reckon we had like within 2 weeks of someone buying a shoe at the other store, they were in our store going, "What's happening? This feels terrible. I'm really sore." And the shoes look brand new still. So you're like, "Oh, I can see what's happened here." You're in a wedge shoe when you don't need it, and this is like a medial post will never send someone lateral like a wedge shoe does.
No, and that's interesting. There aren't many shoes categorically that have a wedge to it. Like I reckon going back, maybe there was a Structure Trix that indirectly created a bit of a wedge format a long time ago, maybe 8 or 9 years ago, and Mizuno Wave Inspire. It doesn't actually have a Varus wedge, but the way it has more plastic on the medial column sort of creates almost a functional Varus wedge. But there aren't many shoes on the market where you can see a foot posture and say, and it makes it tough in retail as well. It's okay for you, Julian, you can sort of see a foot and your experience. You can pick someone to put into a Varus wedge, but imagine going to a typical retail shop like the Athlete's Foot and someone trying to put you into the Vongo, and imagine how often they get it wrong. Like it'd be pretty common, I'd say.
Well, that's one of the issues really with retail is a lot of the stores have staff who get trained by the manager, who gets informed about shoes by the brand. And so it's always based, it's like a marketing spiel that just comes down from the brand to the sort of management at the store onto the shop floor. And so you're not getting a very clear or non-biased view of how the shoe should be sold. According to marketing, every brand, every shoe is perfect for every runner. And so that's a tricky bit when you go to a store that doesn't look at things maybe a little bit more analytically.
Mm. Yeah. So this Vongo is different now. It's like Tommy said, it's got a soft forefoot. Does it have more pitch than the 1080?
Or is it the same pitch? I think it's technically the same.
It's technically
the same, but it feels like it feels like it's higher drop, and I think it's because the geometry is a bit different. Like it's not as rocketed through the rear foot. It's slightly more squared off.
Absolutely, and I think just being a bit stiffer in the rear foot and softer in the forefoot does create that pitch effect as well. So I've enjoyed it. I found the upper is really nice, and I put it on the foot. I took it for an hour the other week, and just by the end of it, I started to get slightly, that feeling where you wear a narrow shoe, it just compresses the forefoot a bit. So I need to either wear it in a touch more or throw some socks into the forefoot and heat it up and try and expand it a bit. It's just a little bit, it's not on the wide side. That shoe is pretty standard to narrow, I'd say.
Go back, Nitta. Go back. Rewind. Do what to the shoe?
What I would normally do, I throw some socks in the forefoot and I'll get the hair dry and I'll heat it up a little bit and I'll just put some more socks in. I'll just add a bit more width to it.
Does that just stretch the meshes out a bit, does it?
If it's got a bit more plastic, it will do that a bit better. This one's knitted, so it won't work as well. So the knitted one won't stretch, but some of the plastic materials, you can just get a bit more girth on it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. I found the same thing with the width. I was running in it for up to an hour, fine, no dramas. Really enjoying the guts underneath. I like to, a lot of the time you talk about shoes, well, I do, I refer to them having guts. A shoe that doesn't have guts is like the Nimbus Light that I think it's really spongy, but I think hollow. You bottom it out. It's hollow, yeah, that's right. But this particular shoe has almost a thick slab of dense cushion and it feels like there's a lot underneath, and that's like I enjoy that sometimes. But I wore it for a long run. I think I did 2 hours before changing shoes, and at the end of that 2 hours, my pinky just got like really irritated, and I ended up with a blister that lasted for maybe 2 weeks and caused me to change my gait, and I think that's what contributed to an Achilles issue I got. So I need to wear it less because that upper is a little strong where on my little toe.
And you're so used to putting on a new shoe and just taking it for 2 hours as well, whereas this would have been just, you know, probably a bit of a shock, I reckon.
Yeah, it's the first blister I've had in it's a very long time, very long time. So this is so it was interesting. I still love the shoe. I'm a runner who enjoys some medial support, some structure, some actual heel stability. All these shoes now seem to be uber soft and have very soft heels. And when I go down a hill or lately, if my Achilles or calf is sore, I tend to be more rear foot focused, and I want something back there that feels stable to land on. And that's this shoe is that.
Absolutely.
You know what this shoe reminds me of? The Nike Lunar Glide. Did you guys run in that?
No, I never wore the Lunar Glide.
Yeah, really? I had it, but this does not remind me of that.
Oh, really?
It does remind me of the Lunar On type midsole, though, like in terms of the feel. Like it's like that sort of, you mentioned, you know, it's, I think the React foam does a similar job as well, like a firmer cushioning that works a treat for me. So the upper of the shoe is brilliant, though. Like the rear foot counter is way more stable than what the...
Is it in front of you, Nitta?
Oh, I don't have it on me. No, nah.
Tommy, chuck it up while Nitta talks about it.
So the rear foot counter is just way more stable than what the 1080 is. The 1080 has these large cutouts under the medial lateral malleolus, but that's a nice stiff rear foot counter. Has a small flare. You sit deep in the heel cup. You can add a heel pitch to it. I'm sure you've added another pitch to it, Tommy.
Yeah, 6 mil.
Yep, 6 mil, yep. So, and yeah, so I reckon this will be, dare I say it, it'll be an easier sale. I can think of 4 or 5 people that are wearing the 1080 now who'd prefer this shoe straight away from the get-go. So I think a lot of people will transition from that sort of, you know, that enjoyable rocker 1080 into a slightly more posted shoe, like a bigger person or someone that is a bit more medially deviated. So,
yep. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, as soon as I see a shoe, I think, oh, how can this work in the current mix of shoes? And this is someone that needs that support, that wants a little bit more of that magic foam feel. That, like, this goes up against the New Balance 860 in their range. The 860 has sort of traditional foam, quite firm underfoot, not a lot of stack height compared to other shoes now. And that's a traditional support shoe. And it actually goes quite well because it does what it says it does. Whereas this is now a shoe that maybe someone can have more fun with that still needs medial support.
That's it. So what else have you been wearing, Tommy?
Other shoe I've been wearing, actually I wore for last Sunday, which I hadn't worn for a while, which I actually think is underrated shoe, is the Hoka Rocket X.
Tell us about it, Tommy. You said it would be the second shoe in your selection if you were to wear another shoe for race day.
I know, right? I pissed you off by saying that. Sure. Yeah. No, not, that it wasn't was, the second. No, it wasn't
that
the
was
second.
A joke.
No, it was serious. It's weird because it's not it doesn't have like any special foam, right? It's just it's like an EVA, but it's just it just seems to work. Like it just something to do with the just the softness of it and the way it rolls through. It just seems to really work for me. And the plate in it is not super stiff, so it actually still bends in the forefoot.
Yeah. Really. Okay.
So it's still a lot of bend for a so-called super shoe.
Wait, is that behind the plate that's bending, or is that the plate that's bending?
It's the plate.
That's the plate.
Yeah. You sure you haven't snapped it?
It looks like my old 4%, which I snapped. Yeah. Well.
they thin the plate out a lot compared to the Carbon X.
Is it the Carbon plate?
I think it's kind of actually it's probably just where that line runs here, right?
Yeah. That's interesting. So it doesn't look curved or anything. So
it's not curved. No, it's not curved, and it's 1 mm. It's like 1 mm thick, so it's got some flex to it.
So is this what the Hoka Pros are wearing on race day? Are they wearing this?
Yeah. Yeah. This is what that guy that just broke the Ironman world record wore.
Frodeno.
Frodeno. But I don't know. Like, I just think it's un-Hockerish in the fact that it's not the super crazy flared. Like, it's actually relatively
streamlined,
slim contact area for a Hocker, streamlined, which makes it lighter because it's got less foam than say the it's heaps lighter than the Carbon X. So if you want a lighter, well cushioned race day shoe or lightweight trainer, tempo, whatever. I think it's a good shoe. Actually, the one thing that I really do not like about it is the upper. It's a real the collar is super high. Like you hit your ankle bone here, and it like I've seen you knitter in your Lunar Racer photo with it like laced up like this. This does that on my foot where you kind of have to like lace it quite a bit and it gathers a bit. So it's a really weird upper. If they fix the upper. Like if they fix the upper and they slightly improve the midsole to get it to more of like a P-Bax or like one of these other types of super foams.
Not P-Bax?
That's EVA.
It's not P-Bax. Oh. It's like an EVA rubber blend. It's just that, yeah.
That's but real.
It's soft and responsive.
It is, but it's still closer to traditional than the average super shoe. So this maybe it's just the sign. Maybe you must be weighing in light, Tommy, handling those lower shoes a bit nicer. Or
I don't know, but
Lana's not starving you.
No. I've been on the I've been eating more since this race cancellation. That's for sure. Just letting my hair down, not losing weight. That's for sure.
He's just aging and he's getting nostalgic and he just wants to feel like he did 10 years ago.
I'm still figuring out what I like. And I reckon, I'm definitely not someone that likes too much shoe. I think it's also to do with how big my feet are. Like size 13 in any shoe, like I am sensitive to weight. Once they start getting above like 230 grams, once they get above that, I notice it. This one's still light. It's still pretty light on my foot.
Yeah, that makes sense. Julian, tell us a story. You're up to 100 Ks now for the week, so you must be getting back to good health.
Last week was like 110 K, and I actually did two workouts. So that was pretty fun for me. It's new experience. Haven't done that for a while, but this week, not much running. Hurt my calf on Sunday, Pace Daly. So first proper workout back, I thought I'll help Ellie out with her track workout in Cairns. Last big workout, and I jumped in for a 15 by K workout. I wore the Saucony Endorphin Speed 2 because I just brought a shoe up that I thought that I was going to do my own workout, which was like a threshold, and I wanted to be able to jog in the shoe as well because I was traveling. But then this workout popped up. I thought I'll jump on the track with it. It actually felt pretty good. I would have preferred the pro, I think, given that it was a little snappier and on the track, the pro's a bit stiffer.
I remember you were telling us that workout went pretty well in the speed. So was it like a calf that popped up later on or what?
Oh, it got slightly tighter throughout the workout. And then I got back to Anglesey a couple of days later and I had a big bruise through my calf, and it was actually really sore. And I'm like, oh, this did more damage than I thought. It sounds like it's actually sort of strained the muscle. But I ran on the Monday here. It felt really shit. It felt horrible, actually. I thought it was just DOMS, but it wasn't. Yeah. Sounds like it was much worse. But, yeah, I probably would have gone the stiffer plated shoe if I had known I was doing a track workout. On the Tuesday, I ran in the Vaporfly Next Percent 2 for a little fartlek workout. And, I mean, that is just a brilliant shoe. That is just the super shoe at the moment if you don't want more cushion. I love cushion. I'd still pick Alpha for a marathon. But this, oh, gee, the fit of this shoe compared to the first version is brilliant. Underneath, it's still really cushioned. It's, yeah, great
I've
shoe.
I've heard nothing but good. Have you got the shoe in front of you, the next two?
No, I don't have it in front of me.
I haven't heard one negative comment about the shoe. So the shoe's been almost the ideal selection for running. Out of 10 people who want to pick a shoe, 9 of them will say Vaporfly Next Percent 2.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tommy's got it.
There you go. Yep.
Let's have a look. So difference from the first version is in the upper only. It goes away from that vapor weave type material that was kind of water resistant or whatever.
Is it more like the Atom Knit?
No, it's more like the original. In terms of volume in the shoe, it is. But in terms of like the material, it's a little bit stronger material, so it holds your foot on a little better. I like the heel counter. I like the tongue better as well. It doesn't bunch up like the first one. I think they got it right, the update.
Yeah, I reckon it fits. To me, it fits like the original 4% mesh. Yep. Fits like that.
Yeah. This is a shoe that came in yesterday, the JL Kayano Light 2. Mm-hmm. So I know, Tommy, you ran in the first version when you had that Tib Post issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same midsole, so it is very broad and flared. And so you can almost see there the diff, like see that wedge. Where am I here? Firmer. It's not even, it's the same density foam. It's just a different shape.
Just flared.
Just flared underneath, a lot of ground contact, sort of gone with that Hoka trend now of giving stability through a broad footprint. And this is a shoe I'll do a lot of miles in just because it's so safe for me. It still feels light, doesn't feel bulky. This is like, it's funny, this came out at the same time the Vongo 5 is coming out because they're aimed at the same sort of customer, I think. This one might suit a lighter runner rather than the Vongo, which might suit a heavier customer.
Yep.
Finally, this is an interesting one. Adidas Ultra Boost 21.
Yeah.
This is the comfiest walking shoe I've ever put on. This shoe, I work in every day now. I walked around Cairns in it. I walk everywhere in it. It's a heavy shoe. I don't think I would run in it very often. It just doesn't feel like there's enough in the forefoot's pretty firm, although it looks like there's a lot of this TPU foam up there. It's pretty firm up front, but it's pretty rigid, so it looks after my plantar. The comfort level of this heel cup is amazing. So I slipped this shoe on. It just feels like I've had it on for like 10 years. It just so comfort-wise, this is this is a dream to work in. And just casual wear. So I've found a walking shoe.
Well, one of the guys I'm running with at our club, Matty Glyas, he works at a running company in Adelaide, and he's been wearing it for his warm-ups and some longer runs or moderate runs as well. So it is a heavier shoe, he said, but it's relatively comfortable. So,
yeah, it's. I don't know about that TPU. TPU's never been great for me. That one just feels heavy and firm.
Okay.
This one is a shoe I've been wearing around here lately to walk the dog in, Pegasus Trail Gore-Tex. So Gore-Tex is a manufacturer of waterproof material.
Show us the sole. What's the sole look like?
It's a little more trail focused than the first version. It's not quite the hybrid that it used to be. It's got a React midsole, fairly cushioned. Look at the back here. When we talk about concave, you can see this like cut out here. That's what we talk about with a concave midsole. What it does is when we land, let me try to replicate it, but it basically compresses and it provides softness, but it might not be true softness, if you know what I mean.
It's not the material making it soft, it's the geometry. Like we saw that in the first glide ride. The first glide ride had more concave, so it was quite soft when you stroke the lateral part of the shoe. The new one lost the concavity to some extent, and the new one, I reckon, became a bit firmer, the Glide Ride 2. So,
yeah. Mm. Yep. So, that's that's where I'm at the moment. Gore-Tex shoes down here are probably a good idea at the moment. No one does a great one. They always seem to get a really tight, restrictive upper, but we're starting to see some bit. Like, you need to combine it, I think, with a wider shoe. That's the only way it'll work for most people.
Makes sense. That's good. Yep. We've got like around about 40, 50 mils of rain scheduled the next couple of days here in Adelaide. So I'm sure they stock that at the running company or Julian. You've got your online shop as well. So
we got a few left. Yeah. People think it'll keep their feet dry if they go running in the bush and in trails and stuff. But most of the time it's best for running on grass. So it'll stop you getting water through the shoe, but it won't stop any water coming down your leg into the shoe. And that's important to know, because if you walk through a creek and you get water in the shoe through the top, it's not going to come out anywhere. So you're going to walk around in sloshy shoes the whole time. But if you walk...
Footballer's pre-season shoe then, Julian. So you got to market
perfect, it too. Mate. Yeah. Walking the dog in the mornings on a cold morning, that is what the shoe's ideal for, like walking through grass. Yep. What have you been wearing?
I've been, to be honest, the Invincible, I've been wearing it for a lot of volume and it has ruined a lot of shoes for me. But for the first time the other day, I put on the Vongo and I've also put the old Infinity on. So they're the first model again. And I've just started enjoying a slightly firmer foam again, which has been great. I think doing sessions with the Alpha Fly and doing jogging with the Invincible, going back to any other shoes felt a bit clumsy for me. So obviously the body's become a bit softer. And because of that, some of the other super shoes that I've worn for sessions, I've sort of not felt the same way about them like I did before I was injured. So an example was like I put on the Adios Pro for the first time the other week and, you know, I was a little bit sore in the calves. This is much firmer than the Vaporfly in terms of the midsole, but it's probably a little bit softer than what the Endorphin Pro would be, perhaps. Maybe not. They're pretty similar, to be honest. They just act a bit differently. So I didn't really enjoy it. But the other day I put it on after wearing the Infinity a few times, some fast strides. I haven't done a workout in them yet. It still feels like it falls laterally to me. It's got this big concavity on the lateral part of the midsole. And the forefoot and the rear foot, it's tough to get this camera right, is quite flared medially. So you can see that post, this is on the medial, so it's not a posting, but it's flared in the frontal plane. So not only has it got a concave laterally, it's flared medially. So I'm finding that I'm falling a bit laterally on the shoe. So I'm going to whack a little lateral varus wedge underneath the sock liner and just see if that brings me back to neutral and see how it feels. Because the rocker is really late. It feels like a really, really fast shoe. So I'm looking forward to doing like a faster workout, like 400 from the track in this shoe and to see how it feels. I know you can't wear it for the 5K on track, but I feel like this is what the shoe will be designed for. So, but I wore the Endorphin Pro again for the first time in about 6 months on a workout the other day. I did just like 4x6 minutes, like a 2 minute jog. And the shoe felt really good because it's a bit firmer and responsive with the carbon plate for the first couple of reps. But just that last 10 minutes of a 30 minute workout, I started, you know, getting a little bit sore in calves and the forefoot started to bottom out a little bit near the end. And I thought, oh, I'm missing my alpha cush through here. So I think that's the downside for wearing a lot of cushion at the moment, is that it is ruining a few other shoes for me. And just perceptually, absolutely. So I'm just going to go back to some shoes that, I mean, the Vongo has been a nice halfway point. It's been soft but firm. So soft but stable. And the Infinity I still like, but I was interested to see if maybe Nike would bring out another shoe similar to the Invincible, but with a React midsole, which would be really, really nice, I reckon. So this weekend I was meant to do state cross country. I was meant to be wearing this. This is the new proposed Meta LD. So this, I think, gets released this year. It's got this. It's got a spike plate without spikes. The foam is visibly much more extensive than the Dragonfly. They use their FF Turbo. It looks like it's probably bang on 25 mils. So this is what Clarkie's been wearing for his steeplechase. It's not very curved through the forefoot. The rocker's not substantial. That's probably the only thing I note, that when I'm in the shoe, it doesn't sort of give you that dragonfly propulsion forward, but there's a lot more substance within the shoe. So I reckon this will be one of those spikes that for sub-elite or, you know, more recreational runners going onto the track will prefer than the dragonfly for like a 5K or a 10K, just more substance beneath the foot. But I still am mindful that the rocker is a real, really advantageous to decrease calf loading as well. And this doesn't quite have the same rocker. It is relatively stiff, though, with the plate through it. So this would have been a great cross-country shoe if it was a bit drier. Obviously, having no spike through the forefoot means it's a bit limited for the real wet weather days. But it feels really good underfoot.
So, Nita, just a question. The reason that it doesn't have spikes on it, is that because you can't have another plate in the shoe if it's considered a spike?
Say that again.
According to World Athletics,
yep.
Are you allowed to have a spike? Is that considered a racing flat or a spike? What is the rule there? You're not allowed. Are you allowed an extra plate? That.
Well, this still has technically two plates, doesn't it? Like it's got the plate on the outsole and it's got the plate within the middle of the shoe.
I thought that was the plate. Is that not the plate?
No, it's not the plate. There's a plate.
There's another plate in the foam. I thought that plate went from exposed forefoot to then being embedded at the rear foot. Yeah.
So that's what you're talking about here, this little embedment. Yeah. So this is the plate. Well, I mean, if you have spikes placed into the plate, it'd still be the one plate though, wouldn't it?
It would be. Yeah. So they've just decided to do that over traditional spikes.
Well, they did that with a couple of shoes. They've done a couple of spikes without removable spikes historically as well. I reckon that was a steeple shoe they did historically. So I'm not actually sure why there's no spikes placed into it. It would sound a lot better on the track with four or five spikes in it. The noise of the plate with no spike is, it doesn't have that nice grip noise. It has like a real audible noise. I don't know why noise annoys me so much, but it makes too much noise on the track. It's really polluting.
The Metaspeed Sky is a very loud shoe as well. Very loud. And I had a mate try it on, do some strides out at the front of my house the other day. And I was trying to give him to him because he needs a shoe. And he's like, I don't think I could run with a shoe sounding this loud. It would bother me.
Yeah, it does bother me a bit as well. But today I'm gone for an hour. I'm going to wet outside, but I'm going to use the little loop, which sort of takes me around the golf course. I'm going to wear the Nova 2 today. I haven't given it enough chance, I don't think. The Nova 1 I loved and still have, to be honest. So I'll put on the Nova 2 this afternoon or this morning, and I'll put that on. And it feels much more stable. It feels a little bit firmer underfoot than the first model. I haven't seen as many people gravitate to the Nova 2. I'm not sure if you're selling as many of them, Julian, or people are. Yeah. I'm not sure if you see them in clinic as well, Tom. But the Nova 1 I saw heaps of, but I just didn't see as many Nova 2s.
It only just came out.
Yeah,
only just came out like a week ago maybe, or 2 weeks. So it's not – you wouldn't have seen many come through. And we actually have got a lot of Nova 1 wearers coming back for the 2.
Good,
and,
Have you guys had the ASICS Fuji Light 2? That new trail
screw? Oh, so – selling that one? No, I think we had the – wait, Fuji Light 2 – we had a Fuji Light in store.
This one.
Is that the one we had? Is that got a that must be the newer one, I think.
What's the outsole? It looks a bit waffly. This
just came out, apparently.
We had the first one, which it was a good entry kind of level trail shoe.
Yeah,
it didn't set the store on fire in terms of like people loving it. But
what are you using that for, Tom? Like,
you have a laugh because I haven't. As you can see, it's brand. I've had it for like a month, but I haven't worn it because I don't do trails. But I'm tempted to actually take it on a trail because it. So what they've done with this one is put the same sort of foam as the Nimbus Light. It's super soft. So I think for me, I actually feel like I actually want to run in it because it's kind of like a road shoe midsole, like super soft. I reckon it probably works for people that like a soft shoe but don't like the super high stack of like a Hoka or something.
Yeah,
it feels real plush, but it's a traditional sort of geometry and stack. So it's not super high off the ground, but it's like really, it's really plush underfoot.
But when you you hit the road with that shoe and cross paths, et cetera, as well, it surely the cushion gets offset by the firm outsole, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't run it. I've only tried it on. So, I mean, it feels soft, but I need to run in it. So I'll have some feedback probably next month. But, yeah, it's so far it feels pretty nice.
There's a bit of a curse still, like, with rare runners trying to find a trail shoe that feels soft, like they're Invincible or they're Nimbus or whatever. It just can't happen if you put a Vibram outer sole or a hard lugs in order to get traction and durability. You just lose softness and smoothness. And it's very in store, it's very difficult to try to test it because you don't get a soft feel underfoot. You just get the hard shop floor.
So, it's actually... No, it's really interesting how much it affects it because I've experienced that a lot. You just even a small bit of outsole, not even a trail outsole, but you compare like for example the Nike Epic React to like the Odyssey. And the Epic React had the exposed midsole, and the exposed midsole I think made it feel
plush,
so much more plush. And as soon as they put like a few mils of the high abrasion rubber, it felt way harsher, even though it was the same sort of React midsole. It makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. Yeah, it makes a big difference. So what do you guys got planned for the next 4 weeks? You guys, I don't know, New South Wales still appear to be functioning, but in lockdown, so to speak.
We'll be in, I reckon we'll be in lockdown till like the end of next month. Yeah. It's going to be a while.
Yeah. Our cases today pretty high again, so we're expected to come out in like 6 days, but who knows? I don't know. No one knows.
Adelaide's due for next Wednesday to go back to back into restrictions but out of lockdown, so but we've we don't have as many cases, we don't have the population, but so we get 12 cases we really freak out over here and act as a small state. So we'll find out, I suppose. So, but I am looking forward to potentially getting some Mizuno on my feet. And I don't think I'd say that for a long time, but I haven't put a Mizuno on for a long time, and just part of me thinks that maybe I want it again. So,
you're so excited.
All right.
All right, guys. That was good chat.
Look after yourselves. Cheers, fellas.
Cool. All right.
And have fun out there, Tommy.
Online specialty retail.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Let's go. See ya.
See ya.
Amazingly smooth, cushioned, and most importantly, stable. The new Vongo V5 builds upon the success of the perfectly cushioned 1080 V11, but with an innovative dual compound midsole for optimum stability. An accommodating, supportive, and breathable engineered knit upper is soft and structured.